This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. We are 2 days away from the NFL draft. The Astros win last night. We got playoff basketball on Wednesday. Things are popping, man. It's a good time to be a Houstonian. Nice to be with you. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. I'm good. Everything was really good yesterday in a lot of regards, other than my...
Which means the Grim Reaper is sitting right around the corner.
Oh, stop.
That's how it's been. That's how it's been, though. Like, one Monday... I know it's Tuesday... But one Monday, we come in and like, that was the greatest weekend in Houston sports history.
Oh, yeah.
And then a week later, we come in like, that was the worst day ever. Yeah.
Well, okay. So the Astros now, you got to look, they've won three of their last four. Mm-hmm. If we start with the Padres and the very good team that they are, the Blue Jays, very respectable team. Mm-hmm. But Hunter Brown is just, he's absolutely dominant this year.
Yeah.
He's I don't want to even cross my fingers or anything. It's not like it's flukish or because of bad luck. He's just pitching really, really, really well. And it is fun to watch. And he goes out, I mean, from the first inning yesterday, I mean, how was it, about 8 or 9 pitches it took him to get through the first inning? He's just mowing dudes down. Mm-hmm. His last 24 innings are scoreless.
Yep.
It's the longest scoreless inning streak by a Houston starter since Christian Javier threw 25.
Wow, not that long ago, huh?
Yeah, I mean, in 2022.
For a streak that long. I mean, 24 straight scoreless innings is beast material.
Well, it was a big deal when Javier was doing it, too.
Yeah, I just didn't remember.
He's the fifth Astros pitcher to achieve 24 scoreless innings.
That's kind of my point, which is this team's been around since the early 60s. Yeah. Only 5 teams have done it, but yet it was done 3 years ago, you know?
And yet, I think the thing I'm most excited about, and I think the thing that was the biggest positive development, because we've been watching Hunter Brown do this now all season long. Where's his ERA right now? 1.2?
It's absurd. It's in the low ones. I know that. Yeah. I saw it on Twitter last night. Yeah.
Forrest Whitley closes out the final 2 innings of the game. My God.
How about that?
You glorious, stretched out, older than I think you are.
Yeah.
SOB. Good for you, Forrest Whitley.
I choose to look at it in the spirit of Hunter Brown. He's pitched 2 straight scoreless innings, Forrest Whitley. Actually, probably more than that because he pitched a little bit last year. Yeah, so he's right on Hunter Brown's heels with the consecutive scoreless innings. Forrest Whitley. Yeah.
Forrest Whitley, it's a shame because he's only a year. He might be the same age as Hunter Brown. But because he's a first-round pick, and because a lot of fanfare comes with it, dude, if you try to just reset exactly, you know, how you think about Forrest Whitley, okay, there's a guy that it took a while to come
up.
That's
a good question, actually.
I think Hunter Brown's 27, is he not? 26.
Is he? Yeah. Well, I know, I'm looking up Forrest Whitley. That's really interesting. Forrest Whitley, oh, come on.
Hunter Brown is 26, Forrest Whitley's 27.
27, yeah.
Hunter Brown turns 27 on August 29th.
Okay. Forrest Whitley turns 28 in September, so there you go.
He's a year older. Forrest Whitley is a year older than Hunter Brown.
First round pick in 2016. The Astros hadn't won a World Series when he was a first round pick. It was that long ago.
And I know, and because of all the various injuries and drama with his study drug and all of the other things that go with it, if you just Don't think of Forrest Whitley as a former Astros high draft round pick. Right. He's a guy that's just coming into his own at the age of 27.
He's
like
just
so many pitchers.
One of these arms coming up from Sugarland. That's all he is.
I know, and the reason I knew Hunter Brown's age off the top of my head, give or take a year, was that I was thinking about him last night as he was just dominating. And as much as people, NFL players, complain about how guys don't, you know, they don't make the same money as Major League Baseball players, Hunter Brown is 26 years old,
mm-hmm.
and as of right now, one of the best pitchers in baseball, and he doesn't get an opportunity to get that big money.
Oh, not for several like two more
now.
Years, three more
yeah,
years. He came up in the year they won the World Series in 22.
Yeah.
So this would be year four. I don't even know. I'd have to go look and see. He hired Scott Boras as his agent. I don't want to think about how many more years he has during this streak. This streak is fun. 24 consecutive innings. Seth, do you know the record for consecutive scoreless innings in Major League Baseball? I knew who held the record. I didn't know what the record was, though. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, I think it was 378 innings in 1859.
It was not Mordecai Three-Finger Brown. No, it was not.
It was back then they actually combined baseball games with those bare-fisted boxing matches.
Yeah,
that would go 97 rounds because nobody actually wanted to punch each other.
86 consecutive innings and five TKOs. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Oral Hershiser. 59 consecutive scoreless innings.
Noted Astros hater.
From late 1988 through, I mean, it was from 1988 into 1989 back in the day. So at what point
was it? 89,
19, late 1988 into 1989. It spanned over two seasons.
How many innings?
59 consecutive scoreless innings.
Okay.
Yeah, 59 consecutive scoreless innings for old Oral Hershiser. So,
well, going seven innings last night was a positive development as well. I mean,
yes.
For a guy that just is so much, you know, because he emulated Verlander for so long,
mm-hmm.
and I think in kind of his approach and everything else, you look at him. Oh yeah, if Hunter Brown can be the kind of guy that just comes in and churns out seven-inning performances and gets the very best out of your bullpen, like Forrest Whitley. Oh, yeah, that was good. That was a fun win last night.
That was fun. Dude, if Fromber gets it straightened out, you got two hammers at the top of the rotation, man. That was, you know, Fromber. And Fromber wasn't terrible on Sunday, but he wasn't great. He hasn't been great in a few starts now. So Astros win last night 7-0. Seven runs! We're burying the lead. They scored seven runs in a baseball game last night. That was fun to see. D'Amico met with the media yesterday, as did Will Anderson, as did C.J. Stroud. We're going to hear from all of them. Well, I think the thing that got people most excited about C.J. was him talking about this new offense. We'll hear about that in about 15 minutes or so.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Here was D'Amico Ryans. This was the one that perked my ears up early on, Seth, in the press conference on the culture that they've established with this foundation of players.
We have a really solid group of guys who've been here. They understand, right, who I am. They understand my mentality, my approach, and what I expect out of guys. So it's not so much of me, so much of messaging of how we do things, or what if those guys can carry along the message, right? They can follow CJ, follow Will, follow Jalen, follow, you know, a lot of guys who've done it the right way. They've seen how I've operated for the past 2 years. So coaches, we don't need to be out there. We know we have really good leadership on our team, guys who do it the right way, guys who bring other guys along, and guys who expect to build a winning culture here. And so they just follow those guys. They'll fit in just fine.
They got to win games, obviously. They got to get further in the playoffs than they've gotten the first 2 years. Everybody knows that. DeMeco knows that better than anybody. He has hammered that point home since the season ended back in January. But this is, I think, is a big sign that they're starting to get this thing in the mold that they want, that it's not DeMeco walking into the weight room or getting the guys up in front of him in a meeting room saying, hey, here's what our culture is. It's he's got the messengers out there for it now, too.
Well, and that, I think that coincides with something that DeMeco said when he was the defensive coordinator in San Francisco. When the Texans hired DeMeco, I went back and watched a bunch of his press conferences from San Francisco. And somebody had asked him about how do you establish that culture of hard-hitting defense. They were very, very physical as a defense when he was there. And he said, I don't really have to talk about it a lot. We have expectations, and we get the kinds of guys that want to meet those expectations. It actually is very similar to something Kelvin Sampson said on the Astros broadcast
the same
last
thing.
Night.
Yeah.
Kelvin Sampson basically said, I don't have to talk about it a lot. We bring in the kinds of guys that want to play the way I want them to play, and we have high expectations. So it's good to see that DeMeco and Kelvin Sampson are simpatico, which is not a surprise.
No. I think that's a point you and I have been hammering for a while now. As the Rockets have gone on this ascension here, you know, Sunday notwithstanding, just the overall ascension, where it does feel like Ime Udoka either has guys, they brought in guys like that, and that message has kind of pervaded with the younger guys. I think Sampson's a great example of that. And I think, you know, DeMeco too. You know, again, at the end of the day, it's got to result in a higher level of winning, but it does make me feel good about the direction of everything, you know?
Conspicuously absent in that discussion you just had was Joe Espada. I mean, baseball's a different sport.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's having videos made of a guy who made the team. You know, like, I'm not saying the Astros.
I can see DeMeco doing that too, though.
Could you, like a guy? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, for social media, possibly. Possibly. No.
Also, hey, did you notice one conspicuous absence yesterday?
From what?
When CJ mentioned the changes in the offensive line, and he mentioned. Laremy Tunsil and Shaq Mason, but yeah. No Kenyon Green. Talked about what good friends he was with the
best friends. He said. He said
best friends.
Best friends. Yeah.
Didn't even mention Kenyon.
No.
What the hell, CJ?
No, that's wrong. That's just cold, man. I was excited, dude. We haven't heard. It was weird. We haven't heard from CJ since the end of the season. Yeah. Last year at this time, we had 10 podcasts to dig into, and you know, and several other bits of content. This year, it's like, oh, that's right. CJ speaks. I forgot. So we'll hear from him in the next segment. We'll hear from Will Anderson Jr. at the top of the hour. It's draft week, man. 2 days away from the NFL draft, and it feels like the dust is kind of settling now. We're just waiting to see where Shadur goes, waiting to see what the Texans do at 25. So we'll dig into all that today as well. We got a mock draft injection at 7:45 on the show. We got a petty cast at 8:00 on the show today. It's a good Tuesday show we got lined up for you. All right, you can text the show, 713-572-4610. That's the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Text message early here. Move Framber out of the number one slot in the rotation. Get some stress of being the number one guy off his shoulders. Hunter has the mental makeup to thrive as the number one. Here's the thing. I don't think Framber goes out to the mound thinking I'm the number one guy. Like, you're not going to shuffle
matter.
The rotation.
It
now.
Doesn't matter until the playoffs. Yeah. It just, yeah, yeah it's, or it maybe after the All-Star break or what have you. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's largely a moot point.
By the way,
I got into this argument once with a listener about, he was acting like it was the top of the lineup. They're like, no, the number one guy gets more appearances and this, that, the other. I actually had Lance McCullers shut the guy down.
Oh, good. And,
yeah, and that whole dynamic of actually caring in the regular season about who the number one guy in the rotation
was. Look at you bringing in your bully friends to bully this person. I'm going to go get an actual.
No, he didn't do it in a jerk
he didn't,
way or
okay.
Anything.
I'm going to go get an actual baseball player to shut you down, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I just don't think it's what are you going to do? Like, have Framber go on 7 days rest next time out so you can bump him behind
Hunter
in the rotation?
Yeah, so we got to be sure we rejigger it around. Yeah,
like, you know, and say you're overthinking it, Texter.
No, we appreciate
you being up with us here at 6 a.m.
Jordan batting second yesterday was a change as well.
That was a change,
That's an easier change to make.
Yes, it is. Yep. You can flip that one back nice and easy if you need to. All right, we're off and running on a Tuesday. Good to be with you. CJ Stroud. I think if people are if people are concerned or if people have been upset about how CJ has been kind of integrated into the offense the last couple of years in terms of having some say-so over what it looks like at the line of scrimmage, I think they're going to be excited about some of the things that CJ had to say yesterday. And yes, changes along the offensive line, what Seth was talking about, we will hear that audio as well from CJ on the changes in the offensive line was very interesting yesterday. We will get to that coming up next.